DW Africa Link.
It's a struggle to find jobs in Malawi because there aren't enough jobs available for the fast-growing youth population. With a population of 22 million plus, many are suffering from a high unemployment rate. The combination of a large youth population, limited job creation, and low wages prompts many Malawians, especially the youth, to seek opportunities beyond their borders. According to some recent estimates, almost 45% say they are making preparations to leave. So, who takes the blame? And what's the solution? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
With a median age of 18 and an annual population growth rate of 2.6%, Malawi's labor force is expanding faster than the economy can absorb. This has led to widespread underemployment, especially in rural areas where opportunities are scarce and wages remain low. Let's dig into this. Let's find out more from Chifundo Robert, Executive Director, Youth Forum for National Transformation, also known as YOFONAT. DW's Miriam Kaliza is also with us. She's my colleague in Lilongwe, Malawi. Chifundo, what is the current state of youth unemployment in Malawi?
So in Malawi, we are still having a lot of issues, more especially on unemployment. So maybe just to put it in a very quick perspective. So young people here are greatly affected, more especially on the issues of unemployment. So this affects young people in different perspectives, like those that are maybe just graduating, those that are maybe from the remote settings. So to begin with, here in Malawi, most of young people, when they just get graduated, it becomes so hard for them to get a formal employment. The statistics also shows that only 1% of young people who have just graduated, they're the ones who get at least full employment. So you can see that we're still having a lot of young people who are wandering. And not only that, including those young people who have never maybe attended education and whatnot, they are finding challenges, more especially on how they can even indulge themselves in the businesses, because the business environment is not that conducive here. Also creating a very big gap, more especially on issues to do with unemployment is concerned.
And as you say, it's in both rural and urban areas, or is it that more rural areas are affected?
Most of young people in the rural areas, they go into farming, but then even so, looking at the environment, it's not that conducive for young people to be fully committed in farming. Of course, with the coming of the technology and whatnot, a lot of young people are committed to do that. But then the biggest challenge now is about the inputs, the farm input studies, which are kind of expensive. Sometimes they find it challenging for them to even acquire the farm inputs, which also discourages them to actively participate in farming. As a result, most of young people, they are still dormant. They're not doing farming, because they don't. There's no motivation for them to join the farming, creating a huge and a very large gap, more especially on the issues with unemployment.
Miriam, let me come to you as a reporter on the ground. You've been speaking to a lot of youth. What are they telling you about the unemployment situation, and how are they coping with it?
Right. The unemployment issue in Malawi is really huge. They call the nation a youthful nation because half of the population is comprised of young people. And these young people, a lot of them do not have anything going on in their lives. They don't have jobs. They don't have access to education, even to participate maybe in politics. They are excluded. They have limited access to capital for entrepreneurship. So most of them are just wandering around. And most of them now are opting to get out of the country, more especially maybe South Africa, to go do manual works. Some few years back, the former president of South Africa was heard saying what Malawi can import to South Africa is only laborers. So it means a lot of young people do travel to South Africa to go do manual work. So it's everyone for themselves. People has to find something to do with their lives for progression. So a lot of them are deciding to just leave the country and maybe be laborers in other countries. And they are frustrated because maybe they're being sidelined in the national development conversation. So it's really chaotic.
Right. I mean, it does sound chaotic, Miriam. And for those that you've been speaking to, how open or how eager are they to travel abroad? Because that has become quite a challenge in Malawi, that so many young people want to go abroad to hopefully find a job.
If you go to the immigration today, you're going to be amazed. You think there's a political rally. A lot of young people are gathered there from morning till dawn to just get a passport and get out. It doesn't matter where they're going, whether it's Middle East, whether it's South Africa, or just neighboring Zambia, or maybe the US, Europe. They just want to get out. We have 4 points where passports are published. They are finding difficulties to publish passports because of high volumes of numbers of people that want passports. And a number of them are young people. It's really bad.
Chifundo, I'll come to you on this one because Miriam is saying it seems really bad and a lot of people want to leave and the numbers are increasing. It's not long ago that Malawi's Labour Ministry, you know, announced that it had secured 5,000 job opportunities abroad for Malawian youth. What do you make of that?
I think I know where that is coming from. There was a partnership agreement that the government of Malawi signed with Israel, of which we saw government sending a lot of young people to Israel to work in the fields, in the gardens, and whatnot. I think that's where it's coming from. But because of some other issues that happened in Israel, I understand that that program is no longer there. So, and if we're talking about the 5,000 young people, of course, those are things that the minister might have reported. But the situation here is even bigger than that, 5,000 young people, irregular young people that were sent in Israel.
Malawi is suffering from high unemployment. There's hardly any jobs. And then the government seems, you know, proud to say that they are sending thousands of their young people somewhere else to work. How does that settle in your mind? What do you make of that?
No, I think it's a problem. It's a problem, more especially to us young people, because sending young people outside the country simply because young people are demanding for jobs is not a solution. It's not a sustainable solution to us as young people and also for the government. Why? Because we feel like doing that is like the government is doing the right thing that it will have been doing. Because I think what we want as young people is that the government itself, it has to create jobs by itself and, of course, in collaboration with the other partners within the country, because that's an expectation. Because by doing that, we believe that, we'll have sustainable development. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to mean that assuming that the government is able to create jobs, for example, in agriculture sector, in health sector and whatnot, it means that whatever the production that will be produced in the country, it will help us like maybe to even beat the net export, because we will be able to export more products outside because we are able to produce a lot. We are still failing to produce to the level that we can even feed our own people. Why? Because we are not that enough in terms of production efficiency. So sending young people outside the country as a solution to job or unemployment, it means that we are not doing enough as in how it was supposed to be.
Right. And Miriam, obviously, this is such a big issue, the high unemployment, which is causing a lot of young people to leave the country. And clearly, it doesn't seem like the government is concerned about the brain drain this is causing when many young people are leaving. And in some cases, the government is even encouraging that, right? Talk about the Israel situation that Chifundo was trying to explain to us. But how is this being reported, across media channels in Malawi? What is the focus and what sort of reaction is it getting from authorities?
Right. The government really understands the situation. They know that we have a problem, and they're trying to work with some stakeholders to maybe alleviate the problem. But mostly, the media houses do report on young people, mostly negatively. The media often focuses on crime, protest, and misconduct with little attention to youth innovation or the resilience that the young people are exhibiting or the leadership efforts. And it seems there's a mismatch. There's a mismatch between what the young people really want and what the government is trying to do to them, until maybe the government sits down and listens to what young people really want. Times have changed. You cannot be applying what used to be applied maybe 10, 15 years ago on young people to today. These days, these young people are innovative, they are creative. Maybe the government should start creating policies or initiatives that talks to today's world.
This is the interesting part. Are these not the same young people that voted the government into power? Of course, not everyone, but clearly the government in power won the majority. What did they campaign on? Are they not doing what they promised? Because I'm pretty sure high unemployment was on the agenda of the campaign, and creating a lot of jobs was what was promised.
Clearly, the current regime promised the young people employment in the first year. It's the sixth year, and we're going to general elections in a few months, in September. It seems it was a lip service.
Right. I mean, talking about countries that Malawians go to, South Africa is one of them. I mean, they go to so many different countries, but South Africa is one of their key destinations. What exactly is the type of jobs that Malawians do abroad? And aside South Africa, which other countries are they heading to?
A lot of Malawians are going to the Middle East, especially for domestic work in countries like Saudi Arabia, Kuwait. A few others are going to Europe, USA for care jobs. You know, they take care of maybe the old people in homes and stuff like that. Not really formal jobs. Just like in South Africa, they do manual jobs, gardening, housework, domestic work. It's the same with the other countries. Just a few people would get formal jobs outside the country. Maybe they went, maybe for example, to the UK for school, and they get a job there. It would be formal. But the rest, they are leaving the country not knowing what they're going to be doing there. Whatever it's given to them, they would do it, even if they are suffering. They just want to make maybe quick money, come back, invest, or stay there, and maybe their lives are sustained.
Is there enough pressure being put on the government to change things?
I think there's been pressure, but it's not enough. There's limited support from the government, even if maybe they hear these things, but also the government doesn't have support or the right resources to help them. But if the youth maybe were putting enough pressure on the government, they would have done it. The government will always say, don't wait on the government jobs. You can venture into entrepreneurship, or you can be doing some other things using your own hands and stuff like that. But these people do not have access to loans, like Chifundo said. These people do not have skills to enable them maybe do some other things other than formal jobs in government. So it's really difficult.
Sounds difficult indeed. Chifundo, let me come back to you. Because, you know, in a sense, the elephant in the room of our discussion is the fact that you are an executive director, Youth Forum for National Transformation. I understand that part of what you do is related to youth employment. Tell us more about that role you play and how your organization is empowering the youth, especially those that need jobs.
Well, thank you so much. I think I'll start by sharing a bit of my story. So after I got my first degree in 2019, I had to make a lot of applications. And if my memory serves me right, I made at least 100 applications in a space of 6 months. of which some of them I was just sending online, others I was submitting physically and whatnot. And for your information, I just got only one standard acknowledgement letter where the employee told me to say, we have received your application. So wait for review and whatnot. That was only one application that got standard acknowledgement. But all of these applications that I made, none of them got standard acknowledgement. So that was the reason why I had to think of to start my own. Okay, so I started my own organization, and I have been working to my organization on a voluntary basis for 2 good years, okay, without having any pay. So I've been investing everything in this organization myself. And then learning also from that, that's when I thought it wise enough that, no, I think I need to do more especially on the job creation. Why? I was also considering the number of applications that I was also receiving, regardless of the fact that I couldn't release maybe a call for application that maybe young people should be applying for a specific job in my organization. But much as they could see that there's an organization somewhere, based on the social media posts that have been posting, based on the things that they could see on the ground and whatnot, they thought like maybe we have money. And then these young people have been applying to us, and they keep on applying even now, regardless of the fact that we may not have funding, but we still keep on receiving the funds. So because of that, I was like, no, I think it's very important for me to do more especially job creation. Okay, so we have 4 major thematic areas that we do at our organization. The first one is on youth empowerment. So on this youth empowerment, we focus much on governance, of which we push for youth participation in key decision-making platforms. For example, we have been implementing a project of which we are, capacitating young people, more especially those that are in the remote settings, so right, that they should be able to participate in the local governance structures. Because we could understand that if these young people be in those governing bodies, it will be they will be able to contribute meaningfully to the issues that really affect them. So that's one of the key issues that we have been doing. So right, through each thematic area, we have been recruiting the volunteers, of which pretty much benefits of these volunteers are the, networking space. I mean, they find the networking space. They also get connected to other international NGOs, to other,
Definitely, that sounds good. And is it a case of needing more of such organizations to help deal with the high unemployment problem? I'm trying to let us wrap up with solutions here, because you seem to have found a way that can help support the youth. Exactly. How much of a large scale can it be done to really help the situation in Malawi?
Okay, so I think I've been thinking to say, assuming that, for example, here in Lilongwe, as one of the cities, if we can have at least 10 or 15 youth trade organizations like ours, it means that at least both so far so good, we have 11 young people who are fully employed. Of course, they just receive a little something, but still more, they get benefit. And then we have 15 volunteers, of which we just call them community mobilizers. But these are the volunteers of which they benefit a lot in terms of capacity building, job experience, and networking, as I said before. They are benefiting a lot. So I was thinking to say, assuming that maybe at least we have 10 youth-led organizations or more who are doing a similar kind, regardless of the fact that they don't have enough resources for sustainability and whatnot, it means that we may narrow down the unemployment rate that is there.
Wrapping up with solutions, what is not being done that should be done to deal with this problem, Chifundo?
No, I think there's a need to do more especially with the collective effort. We need to work together, more especially with the government as well. I think we don't have to be working in isolation. As in, for example, government. If the government has some programs that are directly channeled to benefit the young people, they have to be trickling down to the local youth-led organizations. Of course, something that is solid in the papers to say we have been working. Of course, we work so close with the National Council of Malawi. But I think there's more that needs to be done. The current management for National Council of Malawi is now trying, because they are able now to get funds direct from government. But what we want to see is that, regardless of the fact that we have seen that, but we need to see that actual work on the ground to say young people are indeed benefiting from this. I think if you can do that, it will help us, like maybe to narrow down the unemployment rate.
Thank you very much, Chifundu. Miriam, you have the final words, hammering on solutions, because you've been talking to experts, you've been talking to analysts. What more do you want to add when it comes to solutions to deal with the high unemployment situation and to prevent so many young, bright, skillful Malawian youths from leaving the country to go elsewhere?
Right. I think tackling youth unemployment is a multifaceted problem, which needs multifaceted approach. There's need to focus on skills development, promoting entrepreneurship and creating job opportunities through various initiatives, including maybe enhanced vocational training. I would say on that, maybe the country should start aligning training with market needs, because sometimes people go to school, just learn things in general terms, but not really looking at the market needs. So, for example, the vocation training programs should be tailored to the skills demanded by local industries, for example, or ensuring that graduates are equipped with practical skills for employment, rather than just focusing on things in general. I think that the government can collaborate with businesses, what you just said, the PPPs, to identify skills gap and tailor training programs according to what they can create in the skilled workforce. The young people shouldn't just focus maybe on getting employed. They can also get entrepreneurship education, or the government can incorporate entrepreneurship skills into secondary school curriculum, teaching students how to start and manage their own businesses right after school and not wait for employment from the government, because right. Maybe it might come back late.
There's definitely going to be a long list of things that can be done, but I think you touch on something also important. The youth, obviously, we have to step up as much as we can, and not wait for the support if it's not coming. It's difficult, especially if there's hardly any support. But I think for those that can learn entrepreneurial skills, you know, there's the digital space these days, and people can learn different things online, and maybe that all contributes. But of course, that does not take away the core institutional issues that need to be resolved or solved to tackle this high unemployment problem. So very well noted from the both of you. Chifundu Robert, Executive Director, Youth Forum for National Transformation, that's YOFONAT, and DW's Miriam Kaliza, who is our correspondent in Lilongwe, Malawi. Thank you very much for your time.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Youth unemployment is a growing concern across Africa, with many young people struggling to find decent work. While the youth unemployment rate in sub-Saharan Africa was approximately 9% in 2023, most young workers still face insecure and low-quality jobs. Approximately 72% are in vulnerable employment, and nearly 1 in 5 young people are neither in school, work, nor training. Young women are especially affected. Without more opportunities at home, many are seeking a better future abroad. Some countries, such as South Africa, face youth unemployment rates exceeding 50%, while others, like Rwanda, report significantly lower and improving rates of around 14%, largely due to effective policies and programs. So what do you think? Your thoughts are crucial to this discussion. We'd love to hear from you on our Facebook page, DW Africa. I also welcome you to listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW, made for minds.